Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Romans. No, Luke. Just checking. Luke. By the way, we have new daily breads that are out there, new daily breads, if you use these. Great little devotional thoughts for each day. We have new ones out there. Luke chapter 18. We are picking up our account of the life of Jesus in chapter 18 of Luke's gospel at verse 35. Luke 18, 35. Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by a road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately, he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Let's pray. Father, we must bow before we come in this way to your word, because it is like nothing else that we have. The word of God abides forever. Heaven and earth may pass away, but not your word. So we thank you for it again and pray that the same Spirit, your good and Holy Spirit, who inspired the writers exactly as he desired them to write, would open our eyes, open our hearts, open our thoughts to it. Lord, I pray again for our country. There's so much that's going on, so much that's happened within this past week. And yet, Lord, help us to realize that your word says you are still sovereign, you are still in control, nobody's wrestled the throne away from you. You know the kingdoms of man, for they will come and go. But Lord, help us as your people to trust in you, to put our faith not in man, not in governments, not in kings, not in rulers, but in the Lord God, who is sovereign, who is over all. And we do pray for those, as your word says, in authority over us, that there will be decisions made that will be for the good of the country. Lord, we pray for the good of our nation. And that they will not be made in terms of personal priorities, in terms of lobbying groups, in terms of political actions, in terms of selfish gains. Lord, we pray for the good of our country as it fits into your will, that we may continue to exalt the name of the Lord Jesus freely. And Lord, that your people, your church in this country, in this nation of which we belong to, that we may be your people, dual citizens, so to speak, citizens here and yet citizens of the kingdom of heaven, that your name may be blessed, that others may come to know Jesus. So we pray for those in authority over us. And again, Lord, you know our hearts and our lives, the things that weigh down upon us. Lord, I should have mentioned this earlier, but I know there are those who know already the Wormer family and what's happened with Mr. Wormer passing away suddenly. For your grace and comfort to them, to Jeanette, to the children, for your mercy, for strength. And Lord, others that we know of who are going through extremely serious issues, cancers, infections, all types of things. Lord, sin takes its effect and has had its physical damage, and it continues to do so. For your grace, please. And Lord, for the cares and concerns of our hearts and lives, the burdens, our loads, Lord, that we may find strength in the Lord our God. Father, so speak to us from your word. Encourage us. Again, open our hearts so that we will receive, so that your word will not be just in one ear and out the other. Lord, it's too easy. We just pray, Lord, for your blessing, please. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to tie this in to what was just happening, not just the incident of the rich young ruler and who left, walked away from Jesus, but more than that, after verse 31, Jesus took his 12 disciples aside and said, these things are going to happen. Going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the Gentiles, mocked, insulted, scourged, killed, and on the third day he will rise again. Verse 34 says they just didn't get it. They didn't understand at that point. They would later, but they didn't. In a practical aspect, to apply this to us, there are some things that God does that we are just simply not aware of. We don't know. Oftentimes, we don't even know the whys. Sometimes, we don't even know the whats. But it's just, you know, some things, the secret things belong to the Lord. We read that. And he doesn't always consult us, as much as we'd like at times, as to what he's doing and what he's allowing. And I think his judgment would be a lot better than ours. Always. More than mine. But they understood. And so there are things at times, you know, sometimes we see God moving in someone's life or in a church or whatever. And I don't know if you've ever had to scratch your head over certain things and it's just hard to figure. Or people that have moved and such, and why? And sometimes we just don't get the answers. But then, on the other hand, I mean, that's okay. Whatever God allows, he always wants us to come back to, do we trust him that he knows what he's doing? That he knows what he's doing? But then, on the other hand, there are times in which what he does is obvious. And that's what happens in this account. In this. So if you're taking notes, as a matter of fact, the rich young man, I thought about this, the rich young ruler and this blind man, it's kind of a contrast. The rich young man had everything to lose. This blind man had everything to gain. The rich young man wouldn't see what Jesus wanted of him, and if he did, if he would have seen, he would have gladly obeyed the Lord and just given up everything he had. But this man wants to see and end up that he does. This is quite a contrast there. But if you're taking notes, the circumstances here, verses 35 to 37, the cry, verse 38, the critics, verse 39, the conversation, verses 40 to 42, and the confession, verse 43. So that's sort of the outline in brief, and I'll try to follow it if I can. Coming near Jericho, closing in on the city of Jerusalem, Jesus is with a multitude of people. A multitude, it's a good-sized crowd. We're not quite a multitude yet. It's a larger group than that. So he's very popular, he's very well known, and it's quite the entourage who just sort of moves along the road with him, besides his immediate followers and others too who were his followers, women and many others, and then just the people who knew him by popularity. So he comes near to Jericho, and there's a blind man sitting by the road begging. In Dr. Luke's mind, this is an extremely common thing. No government welfare, no anything. We assume he probably doesn't have a family. We don't exactly even know how old he is at this point. What do blind people do 2,000 years ago to live? They depend on the gifts, the alms, the acts of charity that just the people who walk by will put in their little cup or bowl. Sitting by the road begging. That's his life. At this point, that's his life. But his ears are working. Very good sense of hearing. So there's a large crowd coming by. And we read, verse 35, he asked, and so there were those who said, Jesus of Nazareth, he's coming by here. Well, that pushed his button. And it's fascinating because of what he cries out. Oh, okay, so this is a road. It's out in the open. It's a main road probably through the town of Jericho. And there's a large number there, and he hears Jesus of Nazareth is on the way. So his response is, Jesus, because he's blind, Son of David, have mercy on me. You know, I don't know what this man's understanding was, what his theological perspective, because he knows that Jesus is the name, and yet he calls him Son of David. Now in verse 31, Jesus Christ refers to himself as Son of Man. But to this blind man, he's a son of David. I don't know where he got that. Because the Son of David is an extremely specific term, not just is he of the lineage of David, and King David was his great-grandfather 26 times past, very quickly. But it's a term in the Jewish mind at that time of Messiah. The Son of David is the Messiah. I mean, you can go back, let's see. Matthew chapter 12, just for one quick reference. Matthew chapter 12, and Jesus had just done a miracle of stretching out a man's withered hand, healing. That's at verse 13. And verse 22, people are bringing him all kinds, people who are demon-possessed and blind and mute, and even one who was both blind, who could not see or speak, and Jesus just healed them. And so what was circulating among the people, Matthew 12, 23, and all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the Son of David? So there it is. Because the Son of David was or is to be the promised Messiah. And we sing that one of Chris Tomlin's songs, Jesus, Messiah. Messiah, sent from God, anointed by God. Messiah, the one who the Jewish nation was looking forward to coming, their deliverer. So I'm not sure where this blind man got that. Because he cries out, he could have said, Jesus of Nazareth, and we'd have been talking about the same person. But he says, Jesus, son of David. What an expression out of a blind man's mouth. Messiah. And so his good friends around him do what good friends usually do when you're out in public and you want to make noise. And I think, who knows, if our kids did this to me a long time back, you know, I might have been too loud at something. Like, okay, Dad, pipe down. Sorry. Take it easy. Because you just read, that's the next thing that happened. Because it says, and those who went before, those who went before who? Those who went before Jesus, those who were part of the entourage, who went before him, this guy's, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And like, good people are going, shh. In nice terms saying, shut up. Because they wanted him to pipe down. But at that point, he just didn't care, because you read his response to that. I mean, this man, he has an incredible, serious need, and he's obviously heard about Jesus and connecting Jesus, son of David, and he's coming, and here's my opportunity. Here it is. Now I have to get my voice through all that multitude, because they're not walking along in silence. Shh, Jesus is behind us. And we're all walking on our sleep, so nobody wake up. That's why we're all so quiet. I have to get my voice through the multitude so that he can hear me. So Jesus, son of David! And pipe down, and it says, and so he did it all the more. He just didn't care because there's Jesus passing by, and I want to see. And, you know, I love this story. And verse 40, so if you want the Son of God to stop in his tracks. And so he stood still. If you want the Son of God to stop in his tracks. So he stood still and commanded him to be brought. And then this question, this conversation. So that's a man's cry, but this, and the critics, but this conversation. You know, Jesus is quite the person with questions. It's in John chapter 5. I think it's at the pool of Bethesda, where there's a man who just couldn't get put in the pool for healing. And Jesus comes and says to him, do you want to be made well? And you're going, wait a second. This guy's paralyzed and all of this. And what? What a redundant question. I mean, can't Jesus see, you know, because the problem is, folks, at times, we get so entrenched, we get so happy in our weaknesses and infirmities, because people will pay attention to us then. I have this affliction, I have this. So I just want more attention, because they definitely got it. So to ask someone like that, so do you want to be made well? In other words, do you want to be healed? Do you want to get up on your feet? Do you want to start living a responsible life? Do you want to start doing something that you can contribute to the lives of others rather than just sit there, lay there, and just have to depend upon hopefully people will be nice enough to you that you can survive to the next day? Do you want to be made well? Or do you want to continue on in the condition you're in? It's quite a question. And so this is not the same, but Jesus was the man with questions. What do you want me to do for you? Isn't it amazing? I mean, okay, so Jesus comes right up to him and can immediately spot he's blind. He's just right there. Well, he's not right there anymore because he was brought, but he has to be brought. Whether one on one arm or one on each other arm, this way, this way. What do you want me to do for you? An amazing question. See, the question is posed to us more times than I think we know. It's not just, well, Lord, you know. Oh, well, I do. I'm not going to argue that point. But what do you want? What do you want? What do you want for me to do for you? How do you want me to impact your life? What do you want me to do that will be different, that you will not be as you are? I mean, that's the thrust of the question, other than, I'm happy in what I am. And the answer is, well, nothing. Of course, he wanted something, but Jesus wanted to draw out from him, so what is it? What do you want? And he said, and again, this, I don't know this man's theology, because he uses the term Lord. And that is the same term that's used throughout much of the letters of the New Testament, which is the Lord. It is the Kyrios, the Lord, the supreme one, the supreme authority, no one higher. And he doesn't address him teacher. He doesn't address him healer. He doesn't say sir. He's not being polite. He doesn't say your honor. Rabbi. So that's why I don't know where this blind man who sees all these things in his theology, in his perspective of who Jesus Christ is, because he calls him Lord. And it's the same that Paul expresses all the time, the Lord Jesus Christ. Same word. And this guy's got it. He's the Lord. Supreme authority. There's no one higher. That I may receive my sight. And then Jesus says, receive it. Your faith. Faith. And so even on some Christian songs, it's like, you know, if you only have faith, you just got to have faith. Faith. Faith in what? Faith in faith? No. No, because the biblical understanding of faith is faith in what? Faith in the Bible is always directed at its object. Always. It's not just faith. So have more faith. Because I think in some ways we all have faith. We all have faith. We have faith in something. Faith if it's in others, faith it's in whatever, faith in technology, faith in government, faith in this, faith in that, faith in medicine, faith in this. Faith, we have faith. And so it's like, well, just have more faith. Just pump up that faith. Feel more faith, which is a contradiction. Because in the scripture, it's always, what's the object of your faith? It's that old, a strong faith in a weak bridge is not like a weak faith in a strong bridge. It all depends on the condition of the bridge to get you across. That is the biblical concept of faith. And so for Jesus, Jesus doesn't have to say, your faith in me. That's an understood thing because he's calling him, so your faith. Your faith in himself. The man is expressing, I believe, the blind man is expressing, I believe you are able. That's faith. And so Jesus says, your faith, because it's connected you to me, it's made you well. And he is. He's healed. And he's healed, receives his sight, and follows him, follows Jesus, glorifying God. And he's just out in the open about this. And the people, they're giving praise to God too. It's always wonderful how the Bible ties those things together. Look at what Jesus did, praise God. Wait, Jesus did that, praise God? Yeah, it's a connection between the two. Jesus Christ did this, praise God. The two are connected. And exactly what happens over and over again. Followed him, glorifying God. Two things about this man that we can apply. For the work of Jesus Christ, even in the life of his people, one factor really becomes, what's our desire? Do we have a desire? A desire. I mean, this man had a desire. His desire, he had a serious need, but his desire was because there's the one who's passing by, and I need to visit with him, because there's my help going by here. If I know of anything about help, he's walking by. And so his desire, Jesus, Son of David, loudly have mercy on me, which he continued, desire. But then also, to desire what? What do you desire? What do I desire? What do I desire? Sometimes we, well, Lord, I'd like a better life, or better relationships, better family, better this, better that. And Jesus will go, okay, so let's narrow this down. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want? Pretty specific. What do you want me to do for you? Desire what? And he received what he desired. And the Lord was just fine with that. Just fine. Serious need. Serious. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for this. For you saw and heard the heart of this man. And saw fit that this incident would be able to be read and listened to for a few thousand years now. Because you're still the same today. You're still the same. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Take your hymnal.